fantastic job yesterday at the men's pit stop, sharing his story and his life. And if you were there and you're a man, you cried through the whole thing. Well, not through the whole thing, but God really has done some special things for Mitch and his life, and we were blessed to hear that yesterday. I'd also like to remind everybody about the Appreciation Sunday we're doing. If somebody has made a difference in your life in a special way, from either from the church, outside the church, that's really made a difference in your life, bring them to church on that Sunday. We're going to appreciate them. If you would like to be a part of videoing the little testimonial of what they've done in your life, we're going to show some of those on that particular Sunday morning. Contact the church, and we would love to record just a little 2-3 minute blurb on who really made a difference in your life. And so be a part of that. Bring somebody. We're going to have Cafe Connect, both services. I'd like to tell you a couple jokes. I told one in the first, and I think I should tell two maybe. Maybe I could have a new career as a stand-up comedian. But can I tell a blonde joke first? There was a neighbor cutting his lawn, and he was working on his lawn. He notices that his neighbor comes out. She's blonde. She walks to the mailbox, opens the mailbox, looks in it, slams it shut, goes back in the house. So he goes back to work, and a few minutes later, she comes out, does the same thing again. Comes there, opens it up, looks in, slams it shut, goes back in. Third time she comes out, and she's doing this, slams it shut. Finally, he couldn't help himself. He said to her, he said, "Ma'am," he goes, "What? What's going on?" She goes, "Well, my computer keeps telling me that you've got mail." "There's none there." Oh, that was bad. Here's a better one. There was a pastor, and he had all of his teeth pulled out to get new dentures. And so the first Sunday he was there, he didn't have his new dentures, and he spoke 10 minutes. And the second Sunday he speaks 20 minutes. The third week after that, he speaks an hour and a half. So finally, one of the people from the congregation said, "Pastor, you know, you started out, you were 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour and a half. What's going on?" He said, "Well, the first time I spoke," he said, "I had just got my teeth out. My gums were sore." And so I was only 10 minutes. He said, "The second time," he says, "I was 20 minutes because," he said, "I was just got my new dentures, you know, fitting in." He said, "The third time," he said, "I made a mistake on the way to church. I grabbed my wife's dentures and they would never stop talking." I thought that one was the cutest one. I thought I'd lighten you up because we're going to talk about giving money. On that, we're going to talk on something more serious, but I thought we should lighten things up a little bit, because a lot of times when we talk about giving, people get a little bit nervous and they get a little bit upset. But we've already taken the offering. We're not going to take another one, so everybody's safe. But we want to talk about some principles about giving and about tithing and about being a blessing in life. And so, you know, in our world today, everything we do centers around money in our world. When you think about it, everything. What we drive, where we sleep, what we eat, everything is geared by money. Years ago, people could survive without money. They could survive off, you know, the crops, and, you know, people live different. If you look at the Amish people, even today, they live a simple life. You know, they make their own clothes and things like that. But today in our world, everything is driven off of money. And I'd like to talk just a little bit about giving. And this can be a long subject. It can take weeks to go do it properly. I'm going to try to condense some thoughts into about 20 minutes. And I was successful in the first service. I'd like to read a scripture. In Malachi 3, 8 and 11, it says, "Will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you say, in what way have I robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, and you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit in its season, says the Lord of hosts." I just want to pray as we start. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, I pray that you take the words that are spoke this morning. They become life. They become health to us. They challenge us. They cause us to grow. They cause us to be more pointed in our giving. And Lord, we know we only give because of you. It's all because of you. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, a few things that I'd like to talk about, and I just want to lay a few little ground rules because I want to really get to the end of that portion of Scripture and concentrate on the end more than the beginning, where some churches, they'll put all the emphasis on the beginning. But I want to put some emphasis on the end. But I want to first establish a couple things. When we give, it's important. I believe it teaches us a few things. And we probably could write many things down that it does, but I would like to first say that your first fill-in is honor the Lord with what he has given you. Honor the Lord with what he has given you. In Psalms, it says, honor the Lord with your possessions. Honor him with your possessions. Honor is the highest respect. That's the definition for honor. Or respect that is given to someone who is admired. In our giving, we should be honoring the Lord. When we give on a consistent basis, it teaches us to honor God in everything we do. It teaches us honor. Tithing or giving causes us to trust in God with our whole heart. Psalm says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust is a firm belief in the reliability of someone. Trust is confidence placed in a person. When we give, we're placing our trust in God. We're trusting him in things, that he's going to supply our needs. It teaches us something. The regular giving teaches us these things. Obedience unlocks a blessing in your life. Now, I'm going to just spend a little bit more time. I just want to read a little bit more of this in Scripture. I want to read out of Deuteronomy 28. Everybody's got their Bibles? Phones? Everybody use phones today. Very few people use Bibles anymore. Obedience. Deuteronomy 28, verse 2. And it says, "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall the fruit of your body, the produce of the ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and your offsprings of your flocks. Blessed shall you be your basket, your kneading bowl." That's even your bread's going to rise better, the Bible says. We're blessed when we give. when we're obedient, the Bible says he'll bless us. You know, I think about my life. Over my life, the things, the way the Lord has blessed me, and I know it's because I've been obedient to him. And it's funny, like I read there, you should be blessed with your cattle. At one time, I was a farmer. And you know, I can remember years that I'd have twins. Well, that's a big thing to a cattle farmer because you only have one cow, right? And they usually only give you one offspring. And it's a big thing if you got twins because it's double reward, right? It's double revenue. And when that would happen, I was blessed. We're blessed when we're obedient, when we give to God out of obedience. You know, I think about when we first got married. I was making $125 a week in the 80s as a salesman, salary plus commission. And when you got done taking the taxes out, I was like clearing like $95 a week. So if I didn't sell anything, it was hardly grocery money. But, you know, I gave, you know, in those times. And I'd have dry spots, and I'd give, and the Lord would bless me back. Two or three deals would come along right out of the blue that he didn't know was going to happen. And we were involved in a building project at the church, and it was a big project in the middle of nowhere, and it was, you know, people didn't have huge incomes, and we would give. And we would give. And Deidre and I, we weren't making any money. Our kids were young. We had nothing. I shouldn't say nothing. The Lord blessed us, you know, with our house and things. But, you know, there was always money in our account. There was always money. And I couldn't explain it. But I know it was out of our obedience. And I think when we're obedient in ways of our finances. See, it teaches us something. It teaches us, too, that God is our source. When we give, it's teaching us something. We don't have to give for God because he owns everything. He created everything. But giving is for us as individuals. It releases things in our life. It teaches us to be to honor people. It teaches us to honor God. It teaches us to be obedient. It teaches us to trust in him. Every time I give, every week I pay my tithes, I realize that God is my source. It's not me. Everything I have, it's only because of the grace of God. And it's a reminder to me. And it's very important, I think, if we can tap into some of these keys and allow the Lord to speak to us in some of these areas, we'll live a different life. Now, I believe that there are certain benefits that come through giving that I think is very important to us. And I want to read a little section of the Bible, and it's in 1 Kings 17, 10 and 17, and it says, it's talking about Elijah, so you can follow me here a little bit. It says, when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, please bring me a little cup of water that I might drink. And she was going to get it, and he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in the bin and a little oil in the jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of the sticks that I might go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and not and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as I have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterwards, make some for yourself and your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, and shall the jar of oil run dry, till the day of the Lord sends the rain on the earth. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil dry, according to the word of the Lord, which was spoke by Elijah. Now I'm going to tell you, when you begin to give, when you begin to honor, she was obedient in what the man of God said. A supernatural provision came on her life. That's a supernatural provision. I believe when we give to God, supernatural provision can take over in our life. We can't outgive God. When he knows where our heart is, if our heart is motivated to him and to do his will and to do things for him, he'll bless us. And by being faithful in what she did, supernatural provision came on her and her son and the prophet, and there was always something there. God can take a little bit and make something out of it. We've seen it all through the Bible. He can take a little bit and make something out of it. The Bible says to give and it shall be given. Good measure pressed down. When we give, it brings that supernatural provision in our life. You know, I believe it releases a lot of things. I believe giving, it says giving to God brings a blessing. In Malachi it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now, this says the Lord of hosts, if I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there is not room to receive it. The NIV says, bring the whole tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour a blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Now, I'm not making this up. That's what the Bible says. If we give, he'll open up a blessing that we can't contain. Now, in the NIV, it says he'll open up the floodgates. Now, are you aware what floodgates are? Floodgates are gates that are in a dam. And when there's a whole bunch of water, you open them and it allows the water to flow. Okay. Now, in the little town back home, it made the news, the national news, about 3 years ago or so, 4 years ago, in Perth, it was common for it to flood, but they never had one like this. There was two dams there. They had to release the water because it was flowing down from the higher country. And there was so much water there that they had to let it go. And when it let loose, it flooded that whole town. They had to take the people out in boats that were in the hospital. It flooded it in seconds from the time that those gates opened. It just flooded. How many people do you really think about God and his blessings? That he can just dump out a blessing that floods us. More than that we can contain. Just like that little town. It couldn't contain the water and it just filled the whole town. How many people would like a blessing in their life that they couldn't contain? I know I would. It gets me excited. This really should be something we shout about. Because when those gates are opened, it's not just a financial blessing. We give. God doesn't need our money. But it gives because it's a reminder. It's something we honor him with. Right? It's our way of trusting him. But when he opens up those blessings from heaven that we can't contain, he blesses us. What does the Bible say? He blesses us in the city, right? He blesses us in the field. He blesses our cattle. He blesses our home. He blesses our he blesses our bread that we're getting ready to rise. Everything. We're blessed coming in. We're blessed going out. When we hook on to the principles in life of giving, I'm going to tell you, it can shake your world. It brings a supernatural provision in your life in every area. All's the giving of finance sometimes unlocks, it just teaches us stuff. It unlocks stuff in us. Like I said, God doesn't need our money. It's like a hose. I heard a preacher say it's like a hose that's all coiled up and kinked. You turn the water on, the kinks stop the flow. But once you straighten it out, the water begins to flow. We have things that stop us, stop the flow in our life. And that giving in every area of our life continues the flow. We should not be just tithing our money. We should be tithing our time. Right? We should be tithing how we care for people and how we feed people. Every aspect of our life, God wants us to tithe in. Whether it be sharing extra love, caring for people. We need to be givers. The Bible says give and it shall be given. The Bible says what you plant, you'll reap. This stuff's all through the Bible. Sowing and reaping. What do we want to sow? What do we want to reap? Do we want to reap a harvest? I want to reap a blessing. I want a supernatural provision over my life. I want to be blessed coming in and going out. I want to be blessed on my job. I want favor with people. I want to do well. I want to be blessed in my family with my wife and my kids. I want the blessings of God. I want the anointing of God to rest on. I want that covering, that pouring out on me in every aspect. See, that's what it's about. It's about giving in our life. And God will bless us back. He says, test me. Test me. If you're not giving, test them. Give. Try it. I believe the word of God. I know it works. Because I know when I was in sales and I had nothing going and I needed some money, I gave what I had and the Lord blessed me back. I heard a preacher say years ago, he was an old guy, he said, if you're $100 away from poverty and that's all you got, he said, give it to God. See what he'll do. I'm not saying, folks, that you starve your family or things like that, but trusting in God is important. Trusting him with our finances is important because everything in this world works through money and finances. And it's the money that can hold us, right? It's the money that holds us back. It's the money that doesn't, a lot of times, want us to advance in life. You know, we say, I don't want to do that because money. I can remember when I wanted to move here. That was the one thing that was bothering me. I had just got my house paid for. I'd only been in it a year, brand new home, doing well, you know, that in a lot of ways. And then thinking about coming here, paying $1,500 a month rent, I didn't have no rent. That was like crazy thought. But I trusted him. I knew he was my source. Even my wife said, I think we just need to take the step of faith. You know, I can remember her saying that to me. We just need to step out. And, you know, since the time we've come here, the Lord has looked after us. He's brought, I believe, a supernatural protection on us and provision. And he protects us. My last point is that he brings supernatural protection comes through our giving. Now, this is where, for me, these are my feelings and what the Word says too. Okay, the Word say it. But the light bulb come on for me about a month ago about this. Anybody, you know, read a scripture over and over and over again, and then all of a sudden, bang, the light bulb comes on. You're like, phew, got it. You know, but you might have read it a million times and it didn't click. And all of a sudden it clicked. Well, when I read this portion, it clicked for me. And so let me just read it again for you. It says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy your fruit of the ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts." And then if I swing back to Deuteronomy, it says, "The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face, and he'll scatter them." Now, I never really seen that before, but it says, and you know, I knew that portion was there, I rebuked the devourer, but it just really didn't key in on stuff. But it keyed in on me about a month ago. I started to think about my life, and I started to think about what God has done for me and how my wife and I, you know, have tried to be faithful. Have we been perfect? No. But we've tried to be faithful in our giving and in our life and be obedient, right? See, there's great blessings that come through obedience. It says we'll be blessed coming in and going out. It says we'll lend and not borrow. It said we can live that way. But it really clicked for me. I started thinking about my life. I started thinking about the different challenges we went through with our kids. And you know, it's an encouraging thing to know that God will rebuke the devourer for your life. When you get a hold of that, that God is on your side and he'll rebuke the enemy for your sake, I'm going to tell you, that's something that just stirred inside of me and made me want to leap inside and said, you know, it is great to know that God is fighting on my behalf. He's going to destroy the enemy that comes against me. It brings a spiritual protection over us. I never seen that before. It puts a guard right around us. He protects us. He protects our family. He protects our finances. He protects our health. He can do that, and we can declare that. We can take the word of the Lord and say, devil, when he comes against you, you can say, devil, in the name of Jesus, I declare that my God rebukes the devourer for my sake. Because I have given and I have given, it shall be given to me, pressed down, shaken together. Healing is mine. Deliverance is mine. No, you're not going to rob me of my job, of my money. You're not going to take from me here. You're not going to destroy my family. You're not going to destroy my job. You're not going to destroy my health. In the name of Jesus, God is rebuking you for my sake. Boys, it's a great thing to know that somebody has your back. And I believe these keys come through being faithful. These supernatural things that we can't understand why it happens, but it does. The Bible says, try me. I keep going back to that. Try me. If I could encourage you in anything today, try the Lord. Try the Lord in your giving. Give to him. Give of your money. Give of your time. Give of any aspect of your life. We have a new team in our church. Well, they're not new here, but they're doing something that they've been doing a few years. And they're going and feeding the first Friday of every month, second Friday of every month at Ray of Hope. They're going and they're buying the food. They're preparing it and they're feeding the street people. To me, these people got a supernatural hedge of protection coming on them. I believe a supernatural blessing coming over their life that they can't contain because of this. That's what we should be doing. We should be giving. We should be doing it out of the right heart, the right motive. Not doing it to get, but doing it out of honor, doing it out of trust, doing out of obedience, because there's only one source, right? And it's Jesus. Let's all stand. I'd like you just to repeat a prayer. I just want to pray. I don't know if there's anybody new here today that hasn't accepted the Lord in their life, but I just want to say that God give us the greatest gift. He's the greatest teacher of giving. God gave Jesus, his son, for our lives. He's our motto. He's the number one giver in this world. And let's just pray this prayer first. Father, I invite you into my heart. I'm a sinner. Forgive me, Lord, of my sins. And right now, I receive you into my life. Make me new. Cleanse me. Make me your child. And I ask this in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, Jesus is coming to your life. But I want to pray over us today. If you want to come to the front after for special prayer, you can. But I want to pray over our whole congregation that God makes us givers like we've never been before, that we'll give more in our lives. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you will make us givers, Lord, in every area of our life. Lord, that we'll give of our time to you, that we will give of our finances, that we will give of our service, that we will give of our hearts to people. Lord, I just pray that you would use us to advance the kingdom of God through our giving. Lord, we know that you're the source of our life, and we honor you in our giving. Lord, I just pray that the favor of God will fall on every individual in this room, and that they will be blessed going in, that they will be blessed going out. And I bind up the works of the enemy that would come and try to destroy and steal in their lives. We rebuke the devourer in the name of Jesus. We speak a spiritual hedge of protection and covering over every individual in this service today. Lord, protect them. Bless them and their families. And we speak it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. And if you want prayer, you're welcome to come to the front and we'll pray over you. And have a blessed week.